We're going to talk about crossroads tonight. And what do you do when you're at a crossroads? And I thought I would have a great illustration speaking about scuba diving. And it'll all unfold in just a second. But tonight, we're on principle 7 in our recovery, which is reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer, so that you can know God and His will for your life, and to gain the power to follow His will. That's in step 10 as well. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. There's a verse that goes along with that. It's out of 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, "So, if you think you're standing firm, be careful so you don't fall." You know, steps 10 through 12, which are principles 7 and 8 here at Celebrate Recovery, are often referred to as the maintenance steps in our recovery. And, you know, I'd like to suggest that maybe maintenance isn't the best word to use. Because maintenance, by lieu of the definition, means that you stay still and you stop progressing. Definition out of the dictionary says that it's to support, to keep in working order, like your car, to do correction or preventative measures for faults, like your computer upgrades that we do and everything. Those are all maintenance things. Well, it's also the replacement of old parts. But maintenance is only part of what steps 10 through 12 and principles 7 and 8 are really talking about. Because if we do our personal inventory, make our amends, work through some forgiveness, and stop at that point and say, "Hey, I'm just going to maintain what I've done so far in my recovery. I've done some good work in a much better place." But if you just simply maintain that and never move forward, my friends, you're missing out of a lot of what recovery has to offer us. Steps 10 through 12, in these next few weeks to a month or so, when we continue on in these lessons, you're going to see that it's a lot more than just maintaining the ground that you've already covered. There's a lot more to it. If all I did was maintain my scuba gear, I wouldn't enjoy diving very much, because in order to scuba dive, I have to take my gear in, they have to run tests, they have to change parts, and they will maintain it. But if maintenance is the last thing I do, but I never book the trip, I never leave my house, and I never jump in the water, what's the point? Maintenance is not quite it. There's a whole lot more than that. So I feel like our acrostic tonight is the word 10, that stands for step 10. Real short acrostic, this is going to be easy. The T is take time to do a daily inventory. Well, there's a main question here. It's the what. What are we doing? Well, you know, the step says what we're going to do. We continue to take a daily inventory. Scuba diving is a great analogy to what we're going to talk about tonight. So in scuba diving, one of the main principles is navigation. That entails a lot of stuff. First off, I got to pick a dive site. And then I got to realize, what kind of water temperature am I going to dive in? Is it cold water? Is it warm water? You know, because this is just one of the dive suits that I have. I have another one that goes with this one for cold water, and it's pretty thick. If I left the top off, because it makes it really hard to bend your arms when it's on, and so I'd be like more like that with the microphone, which wouldn't work. And that's really good when you're diving in cold water. In fact, certain water, you can't even use a wetsuit. You have to do a dry suit because you'll die. It's just too cold. I mean, you could last maybe a couple minutes and you have to get out of the water, which, what's the point? But if I take this suit to Hawaii and try to dive, I will be way too hot. So I have a whole nother suit that I wear when I go to warmer water. Or if you go to like really warm water around the equator, it's so warm you can't wear any suit. You just go in your bathing suit and you can do like a t-shirt so that it doesn't rub it, the BC doesn't rub into you or something like that. But a lot of people, you know, just swim in their dive in their swimming suit in the really warm water. So navigation is a lot. And that's only the first part. Another part of navigation is that it is really wise to ask a dive master questions. dive master is somebody who has dove that exact spot many times, and he has mastered it. And they go and they get their certification and they go through training and they are called dive masters. Well, in recovery, we got dive masters. They're called sponsors. So, if it's smart for me to go talk to a dive master before I ever jump in the water at any particular spot, the parallel's there, folks. Go talk to a sponsor. Find a sponsor. If you've gotten to step 10 and you haven't found a sponsor yet, goodness gracious, go get one. They've been there before. They know the site. Ask people questions. Get help. Go get a sponsor. You know, there's also other divers that dive in the area. They may not be masters, but they, you know, have things that can help me. And so I'll talk to whoever I can get advice from sometimes when I'm getting ready to dive. Because, like, most of the time when I go diving, I've never been there before. Because that, to me, is part of the fun of it. Is like, let's go find somewhere new. And so I don't know really anything about the area except for what you can read in books. And they're not that great sometimes. And so, you know, I'll talk to other people. Well, that's our fellowship time here at Celebrate Recovery. That's the whole point of our fellowship. Talk to each other. Share stories. Get information. Ask questions. We're not going to try to fix each other and solve each other's problems, but there's nothing wrong with asking questions and being open. And so, you know, we can do that here in recovery as well. And there's a really important element to scuba diving. It's like the number one rule of scuba diving. First, turn on your air before you jump in the water. Rule number two, always jump in the water with somebody else. They're called a dive buddy. It's like no bueno if you dive without a dive buddy. They totally down it in scuba diving. Because it can be a dangerous sport. People die. And most of the time, they have recorded that when people die scuba diving, it's because they dove alone. And it could have totally been prevented. But you only have so much air with you. And if you run out, that's it. And so a lot of times, you could have made it to the surface and lived, except people chose to dive by themselves. And they got in a situation they couldn't get out of. And that was it. So it is important in scuba diving to have a dive buddy. They like if you're with a professional group, they will not let you dive by yourself. They will insist you dive in either twos or threes. If there's an odd number match, then they require a group of three then. Better safe than sorry. We have dive buddies in recovery as well. They're called accountability partners. They don't have to be a master. They don't have to be that smart. My dive buddy doesn't need to know. Stick with me. My dive buddy does not need to know the area. My dive buddy does not need to know how I should dive. My dive buddy just needs to be there. Somebody that I can make eye contact with every once in a while underwater and give them the sign. I'm okay. And then they give me the sign back. Okay. That's it. Minimum qualifications to be a dive buddy. Jump in the water with somebody else. Start the dive in the dive. That's it. Your accountability partner. Minimum qualification. Show up. Talk to each other. Give each other the okay every once in a while. Go out to coffee or something. That's it. Pray for each other. It's easy to be a dive buddy. It's easy to be an accountability partner. Don't make this too hard. Don't make it harder than it is. We all can be dive buddies and accountability partners for each other. Don't dive into recovery by yourself. It's not designed for that. Get a dive buddy. Don't do this alone. And go get a dive master, a sponsor. Okay? And the last part of navigation is that I need to check all of my equipment, make sure it's working right. I myself and others have jumped in the water and forgot to turn your air on. This is what keeps me alive underwater. It's attached to a tank, which I'm not wearing tonight because it would be too heavy. But if you don't turn the valve on, it doesn't work. This instrument tells me if it's on. This instrument is my computer. It keeps me safe underwater. And this instrument I'll get to in a second. Make sure it's all working properly. You're supposed to check it. I got a secondary respirator, too. You're supposed to check that as well before you ever dive. Everybody you give eyes on checks with your dive buddy as well. You know, everybody, you check everything, make sure your cords aren't twisted or anything like that. It's just a safety check. But you got to do it in order to enjoy the dive and to make it a fun experience. Our Wednesday nights are like a dive. We come, we show up, we interact with each other, we maybe share some important stuff that's going on in our lives. Our recovery is totally parallel to scuba diving. It was such an easy teaching for me. So the whole bottom line is that we just are trying to stay on top of our game. Steps 10 through 12, principles 7 and 8 are all about staying on top of your game. There's a lot that goes in to scuba diving before I ever jump in the water. And there's a lot in recovery that we do even outside of this room. So this is like the dive, but then what do you do when you get outside the room? There's a lot that goes on in our recovery that we can continue to work on and to grow and to nurture and to keep in track with in our recovery. It's not over with amends and forgiveness. There's a whole lot more left. You know, making personal connections in recovery is what keeps us sharp. That whole iron sharpens iron thing. And what's the verse for tonight? So if you think you're standing firm, be careful or you're going to fall. The next verse says, no temptation has seized us except that which is common to everyone. And God is faithful. He will not give us more than we can bear. But when we are tempted, he will provide a way out for us. Why? So that we can stand up under it. Stand up under it is actually the truer Greek translation than the whatever the verse says on the screen. And so the whole idea is that we can stand up under it. We don't have to cower and whimper and be like, oh, I can't do this. No, God gives us so much power. And as the principle says, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer, so that we can know God, his will for our life, and to gain the power to follow his will. That's the standing up under it part. He's going to give us the power to do this. He's going to provide for us a way out. That's the whole point of this last part of the steps, is to wrap our brains around, how is the Lord doing this personal for me in my life right now? How is he showing me how to stand up under the trials that I'm still facing? Second letter, E, evaluate the good and the bad. Well, this is the question here that we're answering is the why. Why would I keep doing recovery? After I've done my inventory, I've made my amends, I've forgiven some folk, I've gotten a whole lot of work done, why would I keep doing this? Well, as the step says, when we're wrong. It doesn't say if we're wrong. It says when we're wrong. We're going to be wrong every once in a while in life. We're going to miss the mark. We're going to make mistakes. So it doesn't end after inventory. It doesn't end after some amends and forgiveness. Life still goes on. We're still human. We'll make mistakes. We have to be willing to admit when we're wrong. In scuba diving, we call this taking our bearings. This instrument that I skipped the first time is my compass. It's an awesome instrument. You have to hold it just right for it to work. If you don't hold it properly, it doesn't work and it'll give you the wrong reading. So when I am scuba diving, it is really good to use your compass. I've actually dove with dive masters who I was better at navigating underwater than they were, and I got us right back to the anchor line, and they were like, wait, which way do we go in? And I'm like, pointing, because you can't talk underwater. And so it's true. And so you want to check your bearings regularly. If you want to be good at navigation and having your bearings work in your favor, you got to check them often. If I jumped in the water, looked at my bearings, and then dove and never looked at the thing again, it wouldn't really do me any good. So I have to consistently check my bearings. I also have other instruments that tell me what to do to stay safe. You know, every once in a while when you dive, especially up here in the Pacific Northwest, visibility can be awful. I've dove where I couldn't even see the hand in front of my face, just 6 inches from my nose. It can be really bad visibility. But it doesn't have to ruin the dive. Sometimes if visibility is only maybe 3 to 5 feet, that doesn't mean I have to abandon the dive. No, I just lower my expectations. because if I had better visibility, I could see farther and I could swim along and probably see things from a distance and not necessarily have to get up close. When there's poor visibility scuba diving, you have to dive this close to whatever you're looking at just to see anything. But there's a great asset to that. You get to hone in on the details of what that site has to offer, as opposed to the big picture that you can see easily. And man, some of the most amazing sea life is so small and so detailed and doesn't move that much. And you will swim by right by and miss it. There are a lot of cryptic camouflaged fish in the ocean. And if you go too quickly, you'll swim right by them and never see them. So there's actually an advantage to diving in low visibility because it really focuses you on the up close and you actually see a lot more when you focus up close scuba diving. Plus they make for better pictures because you can only be so close anyway. You can't take a faraway picture scuba diving, not with my cheap camera. And so it allows me for good photo ops. You know, but there's layers in the ocean. There's layers in the ocean. And sometimes what looks to be a poor dive, bad visibility, if you go another 5 feet deeper, maybe 10 feet deeper, you get below the murk layer and it all clears up. How many times in life do you feel like you're walking around in a cloud? You're walking around in a haze. You're trying to focus on details, but you're having a hard time seeing just anything. Maybe that's exactly when the Lord's asking you to go deeper. Go just a little deeper. Sometimes in our relationships with Him, He's driving us deeper. He's using the murky cloud to drive us deeper. He uses that. Sometimes we get too complacent sitting where we're at. And He'll let that murk continue because He's asking you, go deeper. Go deeper. It'll all make sense. Just go deeper. You got to be willing to. But sometimes that's what it takes to really enjoy a dive. Just go a little deeper. Some people quit and give up. They jump in the water. They go down 20, 30 feet. It's murky. They quit. They get up. They get out. Get back on the boat. Go back to shore. Gosh, they were 5 feet deeper. They could have had a great dive. Don't give up. Don't give up. Go deeper. Press into the Lord. He's got all the answers anyway. You know, another thing is sometimes you can get disorientated when you're scuba diving. And it happens. It's not a bad thing. And sometimes I can check my instrumentation. I can look around and I just can't get my bearings. Well, there's an answer for that as well. I signal to my dive buddy, I'm confused, we're going to go up. You pop your head out of the water, find the boat, find shore, check your compass, get your bearings again, go back down and finish your dive. Sometimes you just got to pop your head up out of your situation. That was a tricky one. Yeah. Sometimes we get clouded in our own issues and we have to pop our head out and go help somebody else. Go help a friend. Go reach out to an accountability partner. Go volunteer somewhere. Go do something nice for somebody. Sometimes you just gotta get your head out and do something else. And, you know, the bottom line is you have to trust your compass. If I've done my job and I've taken my bearings and I keep reading my compass and I'm using it properly, I have to trust it that it's telling me the right thing. I was scuba diving one night in California and I was at the end of our dive, we were surfacing and I was surfacing watching my compass. So when I popped my head out of the water, I was facing the direction I should be swimming for shore. It was a shore dive. We had swam out a ways to get past the surf and the ocean churns up and makes things cloudy. So you have to sometimes swim out beyond that, and then you can dive. And so we were, you know, I don't know, 100 feet offshore or something, I don't know, a ways offshore. And so I popped up, which direction should have been land. And I looked at my dive buddy to signal this way, and I'm like, what the? Whoa! There was all of these lights, big, bright, impressive lights. And I was like, what? And I look at my compass, and I look at the light, and I look the other way, which should have been land, and I'm like, there's a couple lights over there, but that's like, whoa. And I was thoroughly confused. And if you allow yourself to panic in those situations, sometimes that's where people get themselves into a lot of problem. But I knew I had to focus. I knew I had to calm myself down, stop breathing shallow, take a couple deep breaths, and really look at my compass and be logical. I'm looking at the thing. I'm off the coast of California in the Pacific Ocean. East is land. West, big bunches of water. I know west looks very impressive. Big bright lights. Very alluring. But my compass says east is shore. I'm going to trust my compass. And we swam east. And sure enough, as we got closer, we could start seeing more lights and some definition of land. It's like, nope, that's land, all right. And it wasn't until we got out of the water, turned around and looked back, that we could finally figure out it was a row of commercial fishing vessels. Big trawler ships that had their trawler arms out, nets hanging down, and lights all along the arms and all up the masts. I mean, it was impressive. It was bright. And you know what? If we would have swam west, we would have swam right into fishing nets. And I don't know what the outcome would have been, but it probably wouldn't have been good. Life can present some very alluring options. And tonight's topic is crossroads. What do you do when you're at the crossroad and you need to make a decision? One way could look really good. One way could look very alluring, very impressive, very promising. But it could be the exact wrong way. And it could lead to danger and downfall, maybe relapse, maybe real serious problem. You gotta trust your instruments. The Lord gave us a compass. It's called the Bible. It's our map through this life. If you're at a crossroad and you need direction, use your tools. It's called the Bible. The principle says, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer, so that you can know God and His will for your life and gain the power to follow that will. That's what it takes. If you're at a crossroads and you need to make a decision, you got to go to your tools. Go to the Bible. You know, not every dive is a wonderful experience. Some are dangerous and anxiety producing, actually. You know what? But not every day in recovery is easy. What do you do if you find yourself back in the same place that you thought you'd already left behind? Well, what do you do if you relapse? Well, life is linear, not cyclical. That's the best answer I can give you. And I don't know if we were able to get a slide done up or not, but it's the idea is a cylinder. And your problems can be huge when you first come into recovery. But the reason that life is a cylinder instead of linear is because as we go through life and we climb up and up and up and get closer and closer to the Lord and deepen our relationship with Him, life is not linear. Because if it's linear and you find yourself in the same spot, how is that even possible? It's impossible if life is linear. That means you somehow lost ground and you're back somehow where, I mean, like you got teleported back somewhere. I don't even get how that's possible, because it's not. If life is cyclical, then that problem that we keep encountering as we come around, that started really big, that seemed life-dominating when we came into recovery, that huge issue, whatever it is, that massive hurt, hang-up habit, whatever it is, as we work our process, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller on the way up as we continue to grow and work our recovery. And the distance and the time it takes to come back around and deal with that same issue again gets longer and longer the more we do this. So if you run into a situation again where you feel like, gosh, how did this happen? I thought I already fixed this part of my life. No, that's irrational thinking. You don't fix that part of your life and never encounter it again. You encounter it again. You work on it. Go deeper. Get out of the murk. Deal with it again. It's less traumatic. It's more manageable. And you start learning a whole lot more to where then you can help somebody else with that same problem as well. Don't expect to never have the same issue come up again because that's irrational. So we're at a crossroads. We have to make a choice. We are at the last letter. We need to admit our wrong promptly. That's the then what? Then what? What do we do? So we're wrong every once in a while, and we're going to have to admit it. And that's a real sign of growth and recovery when we can quickly realize there's a problem and then quickly admit it and set it straight. You know, in scuba diving, that's called charting a new course. 3/4 of the earth are covered with water. If I don't ever scuba dive, I miss out on 75% of what this world has to offer me, right? Oh, it makes sense to me. The ocean and bodies of water are full of creatures. It's exciting. It's mysterious. It's really cool. It's otherworldly sometimes. You're like, what is that sometimes? I mean, it's like, whoa, it's like, am I in outer space or am I underwater? This is weird. If I don't ever go and explore and be willing to alter my course every once in a while, I'm going to miss out on a lot. You know what? Fish move. They swim. If I want to see it up close and personal, I got to swim after it sometimes. Well, that might take me off course a little bit. But that's okay. I check my bearings. I swim in that direction. I check my bearing again, and I head back. It's not that hard. You just chart a new course. Life sometimes throws us a curveball, knocks us off kilter a little bit. It's okay. You just get your bearings again. Go back to the Bible. Get connected with the Lord. Get some accountability and some support, and chart a new course. Go back. Get online. It's all right. Just make an adjustment. We all make mistakes. I've dove and gotten totally messed up before. Had to surface and be like, oh, crap, I'm way off course. And, you know, end up with a really long swim back. But, you know, that's all right. I got back, obviously, because I'm here. So it's all right. I mean, we all make mistakes. The important thing is that you can't panic. This here is my air. It's kind of a long tube. In scuba diving, they instruct you that you have to breathe intentionally and deeply. And you're not supposed to hold your breath. The reason is because we breathe in compressed air, in this case, from a scuba tank. We exhale always carbon dioxide. If I breathe shallow, this starts getting built up with carbon dioxide. And then I start inhaling carbon dioxide. There's a condition, it's called the bends when you're scuba diving. It's bad news, you don't want it to happen. You get all disorientated, you get confused. That's when bad things start to happen underwater, and you literally, some people will start to swim down deeper instead of up to the surface. And that's why, another reason why you always have a dive buddy, because if your dive buddy starts acting crazy, you got to grab them and hold them by the shoulders and make them get eye contact with you. And like literally you have to ascend with them and hang on to them because it can really mess you up. And there's all these other chemical things that happen in your body that attribute to worsening conditions of this. You can die or you can also go into decompression, which if you surface under decompression, it can kill you after the fact too. And so you have to be careful. So you don't want to panic underwater. There's times in our recovery where we might start to panic. You might see somebody panicking. Just go up to them, gently grab them, say, we're okay. I'm here. I got you. Point them to the Lord. That's, you know, lots of parallels here to scuba diving and recovery. Go up. Surface. When we admit our wrongs, when we own our mistakes, when we take responsibility for our actions. It allows us to have better relationships with people. It leads us through in our healing. We then get to partner with other people and go through healing. It's a great experience. You know, scuba diving is a sport I can enjoy the rest of my life. I'd like to go out scuba diving. That'd be a fun way to go out if the Lord's willing. But I probably am not up. I probably don't have any control over that. But I really enjoy scuba diving. Recovery will help me enjoy the rest of my life. If you find yourself at a crossroads, just remember these three basic parts, and you'll get your way through. There's a lot more to recovery still yet to happen. Don't give up. Keep going. That's all I got for you tonight. Thanks.